Hey, this is Mike. Welcome to episode 90 of Buddies in Space. Really quick, thought I'd put it at the beginning. Don't forget to send us your questions about sleep. Send them to me. You can send them to michaelccarassi@gmail.com, or you could hit us up on Facebook and the Buddies on Space page. I don't know why I suddenly got this accent, but I'm suddenly going with it. But yeah, we're going to be having a sleep expert on our next episode, and it would be cool to ask some questions. We have some, but I'd certainly like more, so thank you all in advance. And now enjoy this really awesome episode, episode 90, with a fascinating, really driving force of kind of changing how people think about libraries, Laura Lentz. So with that said, welcome.
That's why we stick our guests front and center. This thing eats sound. Like
I mean,
dreams.
It even looks like it does, though.
Yeah, it's kind of like teeth on this. Yeah, yeah, sort of. Yeah.
It literally eats sound. It sort of looks like the alien mouth, you know, the movie Alien. Was it Alien 2? Aliens? I don't know. You're American in your movies and the sequels, and you're just putting an S at the end of them.
So I guess we're doing kind of another G-rated show.
I think that's wise.
That's fine.
Which is a shame because I really wanted to talk about Janelle Monáe's legwear, but I guess, you know.
Maybe not today.
No, listen, this is going to be hard because Smike not talking about Janelle Monáe anything for more than like a day.
And Dirty Computer came out and it's got a lot of good stuff on it. I haven't seen the video yet. I really want to. I've been waiting.
Don't talk about it until. You've seen the video.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen the video.
But you're
but I like Janelle Monáe a lot.
I do as well, but I can go more than a day without talking about her.
I can't. Anyway, Dirty Computer came out like last week or something. And
I thought it came out a year ago the way you've been talking about it.
No. And it's I'll talk about it more in the next episode.
If you can bear it. Yeah, Erica.
There's lots of news about
it,
and there's lots of, you know, like interviews with her, and it's kind of a break from her previous character, her Cindy Mayweather character.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's big news. It's big news. But yeah.
So our show, we had a two-man show that we actually performed. And the gist of it, it's actually a very long story, so I'm not going to tell the whole thing. Long story short, we would make fun of each other and drink alcohol on stage.
Oh,
and then we try to basically get the audience on one of our sides.
Did it work?
Well, but then we would, it was all just build up to the minute one of us got an idea, we just immediately launched into a scene no matter what we were doing. So it was all like, this
did it
style.
Work though? That is an excellent question.
That's an excellent question. Since only our friends and family came and we stopped doing it, and I would say we were able to quit our day jobs. I think I've just answered your question.
Well, it depends on how you define work, right?
No one gets rich off of improv. They use it as a stepping stone.
Yes.
Hi, we are Buddies in Space. You are?
That's Michael Smith, and you are?
And Michael Carassi. And joining us is?
L. Laura Lentz.
Yeah, you practiced that, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, nice. High five. You did your homework.
So
I
you're
did.
All L's?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's
like Spider-Man, Superman territory.
I do get confused with superheroes frequently.
All the time.
Constantly.
Well, we're going to get into that because I think you're kind of a librarian superhero. You are a disruptor in this space.
Yes.
So I read the article which described you as a woman to watch, which sounded a little bit creepy.
It does, right? Because, I'm listening to this audiobook right now about the Golden State Killer. Are you guys familiar?
I don't think they just caught
him. Yeah. Yes. Thank God. But what I learned is that if you want to creepily spy on people, it's really easy.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. So the idea of being a woman to watch is a little unsettling.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, even
I'm glad
just
I was the only one that,
no,
like,
you
that picked up on that.
But even just the fact that it puts you in the public eye of creepy people.
Right?
Right? So, like, no matter how you look at it, you could still take a creepy angle.
Yeah, you absolutely can. I guess I never thought of that.
Oh, sorry.
But...
Sleep
yeah.
well.
we're here to just unnerve you, I think, is our goal for you.
It's really hard to unnerve me. I just don't, I do not get unnerved, which is a good thing in librarianism.
Really? Does that, are there frequently stressful, you know, situations where you have to defuse bombs? bombs or, you know.
I've never had to defuse a bomb. I've had to deal with lots of poop. Mainly poop. Yeah.
So it's just being a parent?
It is.
Wait, is this librarian related? Or?
Well, no.
Okay, good. I hadn't been to the library in a while, and in things may have changed.
No. It's all poop. You check out poop, you read poop, you sift through poop. That's all the library is now. This is what happens when we stop making
right,
poop.
Right? I guess.
Well, you just...
Damn e-readers.
Yeah, they cause us all to poop. I was trying to think because I was like, well, gosh, what are they going to ask me? I guess I better come up with some things about librarianism. And all I could think of was
poop.
You clean up a lot of poop. You really, I mean, it's just part of it. The bathroom's clogged. I'm a children's librarian. So consequentially, there are a lot of kids with, you know, and
it's not okay. That's not where I thought you were going.
All right. So
it's legit.
Let me throw this at do people. Is there like a tendency to treat you as kind of like a free babysitter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Especially a children's librarian.
Yes, yes. And so what I've done is I've gone the passive resistance route, and I just will not say anything to their child. They could be basically burning the building. I mean, if they were burning the building, I'd be like, please don't burn the building.
Books.
They're flammable.
Paper.
But in general, yes, we do get treated like babysitters quite a bit. But, you know.
So people just, like, want to leave their kid there? And I assume you have rules against that now.
We do. Though
you didn't, they didn't when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, in the past I worked at, I got to run this small library right outside of Boston. And that, we would have kids left there all day. And we'd be like, get rid of these kids in the library. And then you're like, well, aren't you kind of glad they're in the library?
Well, were they reading or were they lighting books on fire?
They were watching porn, actually, but...
No.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a notch in the belt of a win for libraries the world over.
Or I mean, maybe it's
information.
No, if they were reading the Kama Sutra, you'd be succeeding.
Or watching a Janelle Monáe video, say.
Stop shoehorning Janelle Monáe into everything. My God, man.
No.
So really quick, so what do you guys think of the drink?
I love it.
Excellent.
So you gave me a unique challenge.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It was a unique challenge. I like challenges. I become more of a mixologist after retiring from the waiter.
And I immediately offered to bring in some kombucha because I'm a big kombucha fan.
Yes.
I thought that might be one of the things.
It is. It's in the
your
okay.
Category of things
yes.
That you need to drink there.
Yes. So we could have gone that route, but I felt bad because the thing is, like, Smike always buys, like, five different kombuchas, and it gets really expensive.
But I like it. I like buying...
Okay, well, next time, guess what? Well, you owe me now a podcast favor, which I will be calling in, but not until episode 100, so you have 10 episodes left.
Whoa, you guys are getting up there.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out if we're going to keep going, so I have a extravaganza plan for episode 100. I got it all figured out, and I got episode 99 figured out. I got the penultimate lead-up. Anyway,
so speaking of this, I'm going to interrupt because I like interrupting Mike. I just got back from Arizona. It was great. Had a great time.
Great.
I don't want to talk too much about it. But we had, while I'm talking about kombucha, the best kombucha ever. It was this stuff made in Sedona, made from honey. It had like no vinegary taste at all.
If it's fermented
Mel loved it. And she really doesn't like kombucha.
No, she's not a fan. No. If it's fermented honey, does that use up some of the sugar as part of the thing, like,
maybe it was still
alcohol?
Like it was still like about 80% or about 80 calories per bottle, and it was a good like 16-ounce bottle.
Okay, because like with wine and beer, it's the sugar you add, and then that feeds the fermentation process, so the sugar gets used up.
I don't know.
So you must be right.
It was some
right?
Sort of
be reduced.
Some sort of Sedona vortex. Kombucha magic, so I don't know.
That should be the name of the kombucha. Yeah. The kombucha.
It's actually just called Wild Tonic. Unfortunately, you can't get it anywhere else except Arizona that I know of. Probably California. But they also had alcoholic versions of it.
Finally.
Which was like, had about as much alcohol as a beer.
Oh, okay.
And it was great. It had a little bit of a beer taste for me, but otherwise,
Mike is
no,
not down with the beer.
No, yeah. Not a beer.
But it was cool. I never had that before.
I had a peanut butter beer last night.
What? Yeah. How was that a thing?
It didn't taste much like peanut butter. We're gonna get to you.
No,
eventually, but you know, whatever.
Take your time.
All right, go back to your drink.
We're very retiring.
Retiring?
Yeah, we're very laid back librarians. We don't really talk a lot.
You're all in the. I just appreciate you're all like I'm.
All
retiring.
Of us. We're all someday.
Right, I fit Janelle Monáe in Arizona and kombucha, so I'm out.
Well
I'm
done.
Out
good.
Of
okay,
stuff.
Okay, Mike
now.
Will no longer talk the whole rest of the podcast. I'm just gonna sit there and be creepy. So, I had made a version of this for my father-in-law who also wanted a non-alcoholic drink, but you threw in the, you know, the extra, well, let's not kill me because I have diabetes. Maybe we'll try to reduce the sugar. So I whipped out the Google and I looked up low sugar fruit and I went and bought it and then I stewed it because if I use nectar, I checked and like it's fruit and then high fructose corn syrup, mm-hmm. sugar. It's like the next three ingredients. Goya.
Yep.
So I basically made my own nectar. So it's not sweet. I add a little bit of sugar to ours. Yours and mine, Mike, but yours is a separate batch and everything.
Delish.
So yeah, it's just decaf black tea, steeped it, stewed some fruit, put some mint in.
Yes, you can taste the mint.
Mm-hmm.
And infused. That's the drink.
Divine.
So you, m'lady, are many interesting things.
Mm.
I have this
yes, that's notes. A good... cheat sheet.
If I only could read it.
I memorize stuff. So.
Yes. Yeah.
You're a jerk. That's the strongest word I will say tonight. But you know I will say more later.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just going to throw stuff out there.
Yes.
But so you grew up in the Ninth Ward when it was not hipster central.
19th Ward,
sorry. Get your notes
Ninth
straight.
Ward is the 19th, Ninth Ward is the New Orleans, right? New Orleans?
Isn't that the fifth one?
No, I don't know.
Made that up. It's something I read a book.
I wrote ninth. So
yes.
I
had, it was the 19th word, though. Yes, I
did. I was missing
did.
One out of, like, seven characters, okay? But before it was hipster and gentrified, right?
Yeah.
It was rough. I want to talk about that. You were in Boston.
I was.
You made up your own degree.
I did.
So I feel like Smike will be very interested in, because he has a literary background.
I went to a liberal arts college and like that was just kind of a thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, you did that.
Yeah.
No, see.
I mean, I wasn't cool enough, but you know.
We're not as cool as you.
I don't think anyone would ever describe me as cool.
Well, I would actually because of the next point I'm going to make, which is you are what we in the corporate technology world would refer to as a disruptor.
Yeah,
which is an obnoxious term, but I use them because I have to use buzzwords all day. So you are taking people's conception of what a library is and turning it on its head in the best possible time, since if you aren't doing that, I feel like libraries are very quickly becoming an antiquated dinosaur that is on its way out. Was that fair?
I think that's not necessarily... I think... The reason why what you just said is accurate is because it's what people think of libraries.
Perception is reality.
Yes. I think actually it's funny because although people identify libraries with books,
mm-hmm.
in essence, they're really not about books. Yes, we do books. We do books really, really well.
That's
but
a tech. Libraries.
We do books.
We do books really well.
Really well.
And VCR tapes, like nobody's business.
You know,
cassette tapes?
When I started at Henrietta, which was not long ago, 3 years ago? 2 years ago. They still had VHS.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, and finally we're like, please just get rid of them. Who, what are these things?
And then all the 80-year-olds are like,
where's my VHS
tape? Does your VCR still work? No, but it's the principle of the thing.
But no, a library, in order to remain, I would say, relevant, it has to, you know, we're never going to have as many ebooks as Audible. And audiobooks is Audible. It's
right.
never going to happen. So please, let's just not try and keep up. Yes, we can do that, and we can do it well because we can do it free.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, you know, we're a library. You're still going to have to wait in line for your stuff. But what else? What other value add do we have? And we're a place where you can gather. And it's, in my opinion, the only place left where You can be anybody. You can be homeless. You can poop on our floor. We don't like it, but basically you can come in and
but
you
don't, so wait, but don't. Please don't.
Do not poop on the library floor.
Just to clarify, I'm not encouraging that, but I'm saying
For all of the floor poopers out there, listen to this podcast, yes. Of which I'm sure there are none. But go on.
You never know. I'm sometimes surprised. But
hello, my name is Mike, and I'm a floor pooper.
Yep. I tried to bring it up really subtly. I'm glad you caught on.
I'll never admit anything to you again in confidence.
But, you know, there aren't many places that say someone who's homeless can walk in and you're a place for them. You're not, say, leave. You're like, no, come in. This is just as much for somebody who may be encountering any number of life's difficulty. Not only that, not only are we a place for you, we're actually here to help you, whether it's, you know, English as a second language, job searching. Oh, my gosh. I've had people call me up and they've read me their best man speech. I mean, it's just crazy. The things that
you're also a therapist.
Yes.
And you're also...
Oh, absolutely. We have some crazy stuff happen.
Which I want to hear about. I just want to, you make a very good point, and it seems very timely after what happened at Starbucks last week,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you apparently can't be two black men sitting at a Starbucks without having the police called on you.
Yes.
So that's true. Like,
or even more recently, purchasing a Mentos.
Oh, I'm not even aware of that one.
Yeah, what's the Mentos story?
Somebody, a black man, recently purchased a Mentos at a convenience store.
Like the
it's tube, on video. He pays it. Yeah, he pays the money, takes the Mentos, puts it in his pocket. A cop, an off-duty police officer, comes in as he's putting the Mentos in his pocket, not having seen him pay the money.
That's convenient.
Pulls a gun on him, and basically orders him to, you know, empty his pockets.
My jaw is...
I know, it's all on video. You can see it. So, anyway.
So that hopefully wouldn't happen in a library.
No, it doesn't. In fact, one of the things that we're doing right now... Or I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say no. The fact is that I think bad stuff, it happens everywhere. And what we're trying to do is sort of change the culture. One of the things that we actually... Me and two of my fellow librarians, we're taking a management class together, so we gave a presentation on social justice in the library, sort of what is our role in changing the culture, because it's not really enough anymore to just be like, oh, I still need to learn and listen, like, I need to hear more stories about Mentos. It's like, no, the time is now. We've got to do something. We have to change the way that we're looking at this profession, but more than that, how can we affect change in the world?
Be the change you want to be.
That actually came up in the talk. We've given this talk three times now, and each time it gets a little better, a little more refined, and the audience is a little wider. So this time we did it for the board of the Rochester Regional Library Council, which makes sense to no one but me in this room.
I mean, that sounds like you're very dismissive, but it sounds impressive.
Oh, it is very, it's
you sell yourself short.
It's a pretty cool thing. And anyways, each time we sort of, that's what we're trying to do, is just kind of create some dialogue where we can realize what's happening, what the present state of affairs is, and how, what change we want to see
happen. That's
awesome. So yeah. Let me, just to dig into that a little bit, I'm sure you're well aware that the phrase social justice warrior has a very negative connotation, depending on who you're talking to.
Absolutely does.
And so how does that
play into that?
Yeah.
Well, so because we've now given this presentation several times, we've learned, and we knew when we started giving this presentation, that the phrase social justice really puts people like... gets them all up in arms, like, are you calling me racist? And that's a whole nother conversation to have. But what we do is we kind of define the idea that there is just, we start off by defining what do we mean by social justice. And we mean there are people who are traditionally excluded on the fringes. And our goal is to, in at least a library sense, create not only address their needs, but in address them in a, watch out for this term, radically inclusive way.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know, right? We are disruptors.
You are disruptors. Yeah. Now, do you find that, I've got a curiosity, Do you find that contextualizing up front alleviates some of that automatic defensiveness of people?
I think so.
Okay. I would imagine it would.
So we always said, you know, we're going to just define this. And I do this with two of my coworkers, Alicia Reinhart and Matt Kruger, and two fellow librarians, one at Henrietta, one at Irondequoit. And so we started out by just defining it, but this time we added a whole slide to our presentation called Let's Get Real. And it was very real. So basically it's just like, you know, we're not laying blame. This is a conversation. P.S. A PowerPoint presentation has never solved the world's problems, and we are not going to solve your problems today.
I beg to differ. If you put enough animations, it can.
But that's anyway. True. I do love a good, is it GIF? I can never
the PowerPoint
right.
animations. If you make
oh,
those,
yeah.
you fly enough arrows
yeah,
in,
that's
it can
true.
Solve world
when
hunger.
You can zoom. Yeah. So anyways, I found that one where we're just like, hey, we're not pointing fingers. We don't even go down the road of, you know, are you calling me racist? Though, at a time when we did this presentation, that question was posed. So anyways, we're learning a lot. You know, I guess as a profession, we really do, we attract a lot of idealists. We attract a lot of people who are trying to, you know, we've made we've never been in it to make a living. But we
made so much money off it.
We have made tens of dollars.
That's okay. We have
that's
listeners.
Yeah. That's depressing. That's
you know.
But what's interesting is that you I think the librarians have traditionally been seen as the keepers of knowledge.
Absolutely.
And that role is just not like Google's the keeper of knowledge now. Wikipedia is the keeper.
Yes. Well.
A lot of that stuff.
I agree. It's interesting because I still think there's gotta be, I mean, because the information you get on the internet is just, it's a librarian's worst nightmare because it's so disorganized. You don't even know, like it's not indexed. It's not, I mean, I guess it is, but it's, and so it
well,
sends
it's
me.
It's machine collated, but that's not indexed and especially not groomed.
Exactly. Exactly. So.
Not curated.
It is certainly not curated.
Well, but machine curated. Okay.
Right.
Or maybe a better term would be machine queried.
Yes.
Right. There is some method to it, but it's Google's algorithms is nothing else to it.
Right. It's searchable, but not smart searchable, really. So it's an interesting time. I mean, who would have thought we'd be where we were? I mean, like, I don't even know. In 1990, I feel like, did libraries even, they hadn't made the jump from the card catalog yet. Look at us now. I mean, who knows where we'll be in 30 years?
Everyone gets a tablet when they walk in.
Well, no, we'll all have like a brain feed, right?
Don't you have the VR goggles?
we do. We have Google Cardboards, but starting tomorrow we're gonna be. Yes.
Ah, high five. I
know.
You were so mad that you didn't have the better ones.
So we have. I forget what kind we got because
Oculus.
No, I wish.
Okay. PS4 is that
the Daydreams? Do they use the phone or are they the hardware or just the holder?
It's just the holder for this specific collection. But Central Library, I believe, is going to be buying the Oculus Rift.
Nice.
Yeah, it's for this the whole other project that we're doing, but long story short, we're going to have a couple of VR viewers. For a new collection we're starting called Discover It Yourself, where it's like telescopes and microscopes. But the cool thing is you can actually take these things home.
That's
you
cool.
don't have to just use them in the library. Mm-hmm. So a cake decorating kit because, you know, I'm in charge. So we get to have cakes too. So, yeah, it's
could
fun.
Could you – so I don't actually know that much about VR. But in terms of localization, could you like – nope, answer my question.
Good.
Never mind.
Because I was getting nervous. I'm like, I don't know.
Well, I was trying to think if, like, you could tailor something to be specific to being in the library, but I'm like, no. So what you're going to do is have people wandering around with goggles on they can't see. So answer my own question. Forget it.
Yeah, normally that would be featured more in a program,
but
I
they
feel.
Would definitely be stepping in all that poop, too. So.
Oh, yeah. We wouldn't even have – that wouldn't even be virtual.
I'm just imagining, like, putting them on and you're in a virtual library. Which is like
so
a
meta.
Just a bigger version of
right.
where you came in. Like,
but there's poop.
Okay.
It's always a mystery of catching who the mad pooper is.
Yeah, actually.
Well, I mean, that's fantastic. That is awesome. Just to go back to what you're saying, it seems today, and I ran into this last year, having a conversation about things like that are sensitive has become mm-hmm. next to impossible. And God forbid you make a mistake about what yep. you say, even unintentionally. So the fact you're addressing that head on is really awesome.
We're trying.
And you said something, we were talking about this. So what was the event that you were coming from the other night for the daycare night?
Oh,
we wanted to go to that. Yes. So it sounded so cool.
Yes, we did.
I don't think I told you about that.
Family fort building.
Family fort?
Fort.
Oh.
So
this relates to the tree house that you've always wanted to
exactly. actually, not much doesn't relate to that.
Isn't your husband an engineer?
Yes.
I feel like he should be able to build a tree house.
He literally, for our daughter's birthday, she got some swings. He just won. My husband just asked for swings and the hardware. So a couple of weeks ago, because it took him months and months to get around to the fact that he had all this stuff, literally within an hour, he went whoop, 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 and he put together a whole swing set. And that included time to buy lumber. I don't know how he did it. So you'd think I could get a treehouse, but it hasn't happened
yet. He not been reading any of the articles?
I have been less than subtle. I mean, I'm like, where's my treehouse?
Eric, I'm sure you're going to listen to this podcast. I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that your wife wants a treehouse.
Yes.
Okay.
It could even just be like a playhouse. I don't really care.
Doesn't actually have to be in a tree. Just like raised up.
It could be on stilts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chicken legs. Bobby Yaga's hut.
Yes.
Make it so.
Yeah. So we had this thing at the library, family fort building. We did a community survey a while ago of like, because one of the things is that the libraries run into is a lot of times, and this is with anything, you're like, oh, the people need this. They need more books about computers. And that doesn't even make sense. Why would you want a book about a computer?
I'd rather have a computer about a book at this point.
Right. But so what we did is not just like, what would you like to see at the library, but like, what are the most valuable things you see in your community? What are your favorite things in the community?
Fortresses.
Yes. So apparently the town of Henrietta really wants some fortresses because that's what we ended up doing at like 6 o'clock on a Friday. We got a bunch of pizza, which people devoured, and we had to emergency go out and buy more. And we had a bunch of like tablecloths and blankets, and we turned off all the lights in the library. We bought a ton of flashlights. We turned on we put a fake campfire on the screen and some crickets over the speakers. And it was so fun. Oh my gosh. It was completely...
You had dozens of people show up on a Friday
Yeah,
night, right?
I mean, so this one we actually did do registration for because we just needed to figure out, like, how much pizza to buy. But it didn't work. Because I think we set registration for 35. It wasn't huge. We got over 50, which is significant for a Friday night.
Yeah, Friday night at a library?
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you got to think of it. It ticks all the boxes. It's free. You get to invite your friends and the grown-ups get to hang out with each other. Your kids are going to play. Plus, we're always trying to think, like, what do we have to offer that nobody else does? And I'm sorry, a library after dark where you can play flashlight tag is something that not everybody can do.
That's a good point.
And it just hits right there in that perfect nostalgia where you're like, the grown-ups are gonna like this one too.
Oh my god, you guys are you're turning libraries into Stranger Things.
Yes. Well, I because I'm a children's librarian, I'm still a little limited because I would love to do a Stranger Things party, but I don't want to scare the children that much.
Well, right. I bring my kid, he'd be fine. But
he'd be fine. Apparently he's fine with that, but and actually my daughter would probably be fine.
I feel
too.
Like yeah, the
she
two
doesn't
of them
get
would
ruffled
like,
easily.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Over it.
Yep.
Should take them out to see that whatever that Jack Black movie is with the creepy house.
Oh dear.
The clocks all over.
Oh yeah, that doesn't look good. But I'm sure kids would love it.
Yeah.
It's based on a children's book. The house with a clock in its walls or something like that.
Yeah, a children's book. Hello. How do you not know this reference? I don't know.
Was the cover blue?
I have an encyclopedic knowledge of all the movies that came out in the late 90s because I worked in a video store. So yes. I can tell you exactly what, like, Body Double, Body Heat, and everything in that row of, like, I can see it very clearly. Yeah, so, but you used the term, like, when you were talking about that, so, because you had to leave your own event earlier.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Which, another fun event that we ended up doing separately, but... It was a community.
Oh yeah, it's a community gathering space. Community gathering space,
which is it's cool because that's not what I remember a library thought of.
It's so funny because people think my goal as a children's librarian is to get children reading, and of course it is. Of course, I suppose that makes sense. But
backpedal.
Honestly, it's really you've gotta get kids. I really think the key is just make them happy there so that when they grow up and it's time for them, because, you know, basically in a library, you see mostly you've got the very young, you've got the parents of the very young or the caregivers, and then you've got the older. And so every time people come back in their lives, you want them to think of it, hey, that was a place I felt really great. Mm. I'm going to go back there.
Sure.
And for me... libraries started out really cool.
If this involves Janelle Monáe in any way, I'm going
to
stop.
I'm interested to see.
It involves neither Janelle Monáe nor poop. It started, you know, because I remember, like, being a kid and going in and, like, getting, like, Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys books and stuff like that.
I would get a stack of 9 Hardy Boys books every time.
Yes.
And later, it became a place where I'd have to, like, go and do research and go through card catalogs and figure out where things were in Time magazine.
I hated that.
And I think after that, libraries are just like,
Well, because it shifted from fun to work.
Yeah.
That's a key drop off.
You know, continued in college, it was like, oh gosh, what do I have to look up now?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't have that experience in my college library. I mean, it was for research, but I always, like, worked it with, like, there'd be friends I would meet up with, and go and get a coffee, and then go back to
research. Okay, some of us had friends in college, and I'm sure that was fun.
I'm the bad guy now. I'm sorry.
Anyway, I'm just saying that was kind of my history with libraries. They started off as fun, and then, like, just became a drag.
Yeah, I could see that. I could also just call that adulthood.
Oh,
librarian snap.
It was dark.
But no, it's true. It's true. I think I never realized until I went to library school, because it is something you have to go to school for, which is, you know, a whole nother topic I could go on and on about. But you don't need a master's to be able to Google, FYI. Just saying. I don't necessarily know if it's really a master's profession. No offense, librarians. But
the gauntlet has been thrown.
Yeah, it kind of did. But
we're making no friends tonight.
No, it's my social justice agenda. Sorry. These people, my dear idealistic friends and I have just, we've had too many conversations about this. But getting back to, what was I saying? I don't remember.
Libraries not being fun.
Yes.
Building forts.
Oh, it wasn't until I got to library school that I realized that was what the librarians for. We're the ones who are supposed, you could come up to us and be like, I've got this topic that I need information on. And then we would have done the research for you. Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. That's our
job. Doing it wrong for so long.
Yes. Huh. I was so mad at myself. I'm like, all those hours wasted.
You know, librarians are all like,
sucker.
I'm right here. I'm not saying anything.
No.
You want to look at the microfiche yourself? Okay, here you go.
Here's some Dramamine.
Sucker.
Yeah, so.
That's funny.
And when I started at my, well, it's not a new job anymore, but when I started working in Monroe County, I started working Tuesday nights, and I work with this other sub-librarian, and I look over. It was my childhood librarian. Yep. Just sitting next to me. It was like meeting a rock star. I was like, Jean, is that you? And she was, it was wonderful. Every week, it's like my heart swells a little bit.
I will say that, so I was always, I was already reading it a grade or two above my my age.
Yes.
But of course, if it was sci-fi or fantasy, I was all over it.
Of course.
And the librarians like saw that very quickly when I would go into the library. So they were like, they were always good about it. Yes. They would like have books ready.
Yes.
For me to be like, hey, and I'd be like, this is awesome. So yes. I do have that view of a librarian as being capable of being like sort of like a not even a guy, but like a person who takes on a journey, like a yes. literary journey and a palette, you know, like. Expands your palette of what you read.
It is. It's absolutely true. I mean, you always have... I would say that happens in the profession more often than not. Like, we all are kind of like, oh, I just bought you this great new spy book because I know you love XYZ mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. this specific, very realistic graphic novel about a young teenage girl. That's totally my genre. And I'm all over that for certain kids.
Wait, what
and
graphic novel?
Smile, drama. I could keep going. Sunny Side Up. Swing It Again, Sunny. They're all like... juvenile graphic novels.
I mean, I got yeah. a whole giant thing.
Awesome.
I have three shelves of graphic
anything novels. Anything by Raina Telgemeier, I'm all over. Yeah, so There's my reader's advisory for today.
Have you read I Kill Giants?
I can picture the cover. Absolutely. It's like there's a little person here and like, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't read it.
Describe anything.
I know. I'm really good at that. The title. There's a little person here.
There's a giant.
And it's like, is there some black and white on the cover? I definitely know the book.
Okay. It's really good. You should read it.
I will add it to my list.
Smike is the manga and anime connoisseur. Yes.
See, maybe with the three of our powers combined, we would be able to read a lot of good stuff because I'm all realism.
Mm-hmm.
My fellow children's librarian is all sci-fi, but you say you like sci-fi and you like anime and manga, so we're set.
Yeah. Done deal.
Yeah.
With our powers combined, we are Captain Reads a lot of stuff.
reads some things, but no microfiche.
Diabetes, what's that like?
It's so awesome.
By the way, anything you want me to take out, just tell me.
No. I have no issues talking about diabetes. People are always like, did I upset you? I'm like, no, because I have it.
I have it.
So I'm kind of always thinking about it.
I mean, like, it'd be cool if I didn't have it. Yeah. But that's my deal.
You didn't give it to me by asking me that question.
You didn't, right?
Did you?
I may be, like, over-extrapolating this, but to me, because I have some food allergies, and they're like, very mild, but I think it's kind of just a matter of, you know, scale difference in food allergies to diabetes.
I
have a couple of things that could kill me. You have a lot more.
Well, it's so funny because, so my daughter, she's 3.5 and she has a lot of food allergies. So as a parent, I experience it in the way where I'm like, oh my God, this thing's going to kill her. And that actually, food allergies freak me out more than diabetes because with diabetes, it's like, yeah, I could eat the sugar and I'd feel really sick and that would be a drag. But it's not like I'm going to die. It's like, it's more like this looming thing. If you eat all this sugar and you feel really bad in 20 years, we're going to have to cut off your foot. And that'll stink.
For me, it's like if I accidentally drink some wine, my throat will swell up. It'll be super uncomfortable for a while, but I'll probably be okay eventually. But diabetes is like, holy crap, that sounds awful.
It's, I haven't actually had it my whole life. I was 25 when I was diagnosed, so I'm 38 now. So 13 years. And so it's been over a decade. I have an insulin pump that is constantly giving me a little drip of insulin. And every time I eat, I tell it the number of carbs I'm eating. And then it will give me a burst of insulin to cover that food. And that all sounds very organized, but it's in fact the most disorganized disease in the world.
How would you know?
Exactly.
Like, I'm eating a thing, I'm out. I don't have, like, the nutrition facts and the calorimeter or whatever.
Exactly.
How do I know? Like,
You don't. You guess.
And you probably get better at it over time.
Hopefully. A degree. I mean, of course, like, I could look at a plate and give you a fairly educated guess. But even that, let's just... Let's be real. I am wrong approximately 90% of the time. So
well, even that, I probably picked this up on like Adam Ruins Everything or something. How even the nutrition estimates that you see on packaged food could be like way off in reality.
Way off. Because the other thing, it's not like you're traveling with a food scale. Like, you're not measuring how many grams of Ritz crackers you're eating. And, you know, it's just, it's a very frustrating disease, and I can only hope that, you know, maybe I don't hold out any hope that it's going to be cured. I don't want to sort of like have my hopes dashed, but I do think treatment's come a long way, and I think maybe in 10 years it will come even further. There's That'd a fake awesome. Pancreas, right, that's coming out on the market, so I'm
gotta get me one of them. Yeah, hook it to my veins.
Then yeah, so yeah, it's not the most fun disease, but it's a, I mean, you know, I suppose there could be worse things. I don't know what, but I mean, I do know what, but I will say I won't wish it on anybody, but in honesty, it's made me a better person. I know that sounds cheesy, but you know, it's definitely got me running a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's made me more pragmatic. It makes me sound wise about carbohydrates.
Do unto others as your carbs would do unto you.
Exactly. You've got it. Yeah.
So. I think anything that forces you to put restrictions on the things that you intake inherently has a potential for a positive change.
It does.
Because, like, you know, just having no restrictions to anything tends to make us kind of just gluttonous and unhealthy and not realize it and, you know.
I think so. I mean, it's so funny because I think a lot of times, sort of like, if you are limited in some way, you're like, don't you limit me. So I kind of sometimes see the flip-flop of it. Like,
right. That's why I said the potential, because you could totally do the opposite.
Yes, because like growing up, my mother, she was a great baker. She ran a bakery out of the basement of our house. So we had sweets constantly. And I was like, I don't really like sweets.
Wow.
And as soon as I got diagnosed, I was like, sweets.
Give me the sugars. Yes. All the sugars.
Exactly. So, you know, it's, but I do try to, one of the things that I really do like to do is if somebody comes up to me and they're like, oh, someone I know is just recently diagnosed, I always try to, you know, shoot them a quick email in a non-creepy way. Like, hey, if you ever want to talk.
Been there.
I've been there. I remember how overwhelming it was. I'm at the time in life now where a lot of people I know have had gestational diabetes. So I'm like, oh, don't worry. Like, people are so hard on themselves. I'm like, you're fine. The baby's fine. If I can do it, anybody can do it. So I don't feel like there's enough positivity in the world of chronic disease, so I do try to like spread that a little bit.
Normally two things, positivity and chronic disease, doesn't go hand in hand.
No, but yeah, I just try to, people put so much pressure on themselves.
Well, that's, I going off on a little bit of a tangent, when I was in Toronto a couple of years ago, we went to this art exhibit and they had the weird stuff, and one of them was this display of an artist had taken various dolls, like Barbie dolls and that sort of scale, and had like broken off limbs and replaced them with other things. Mm-hmm. And it was like creepy at first, but then I read about what the artist was.
Oh, it just sounds like you went to a serial killer exhibit.
I know.
Also Toy Story. It depends.
And Sid was going to be a serial killer.
Yeah, he was.
And this it made an impression on me because it stuck with me. It's always kind of in the back of my mind now. Is that the natural human condition is being broken and, you know, in various states of repair.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the whole point of this exhibit. Yes. And that like I said, that made an impression on me. That's why I'm always thinking like that. Well, that's, yeah, people are messed up, and that's kind of part of our nature. Not necessarily broken, missing limbs, but,
right,
you know, other various things. People just have stuff, you know, wrong, and that's not wrong.
Yes, which is what I always like, if you know, I'm talking to somebody, I'm like, you know, everybody's got stuff. We've all got stuff. Ignore Instagram, please. It's not true.
it's an artificial filter.
Yes, it is. But it is so true. Like, you take so much for granted that your body works right or your brain works right or whatever it is until it doesn't. You're like, oh my God. Like, I just look back on the first 25 years of my life like, oh wow, you know.
Yeah.
I ate a lot of cookies. That was pretty great.
I've learned a lot, like going paleo and doing the fasting. Yeah. Doing all the fasting and stuff. I've learned a lot about how your diet and how your gut bacteria and all that stuff affects your mood.
Oh my God, yes.
And exercise as well. So I just started running again. I was traveling for work for three out of the last 4 months. It's been like least favorite thing in the world. And I'm just starting running again. And I forgot, because you forget. I always forget during the winter when I stop running. I forgot that I'm smarter when I'm running.
Or yes.
When I've been running. And Erica, my wife's been giving a hard time lately because she's like, you seem really fuzzy brained all the time. And it's like, well, A, I've been having a lot of sleep problems because of travel, but I forgot that when I'm running, I'm better oxygenated, I'm in better health, and I think faster. And it's strange how, like, you can forget that. I must forget it every year and then rediscover it and not remember it every year. It's weird.
It is. I mean, I'm pretty religious about my exercising. Like, I try to do 5 or 6 days a week.
That's awesome. Always running?
No.
Oh, okay.
In the past, I've done solely running. I've done, I guess, four marathons. Some were more ill-fated than
one
others.
One marathon is like, wow, four is
you're crazy.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily looking towards number five at this point in my life. But
you motivated by competitive?
I'm a secret competitor. Yeah,
I'm the opposite. I can't compete. Otherwise, it's all ruined for me.
That's yes. Have either of you read The Happiness Project or anything by Gretchen Rubin?
No, I've heard of The Happiness Project. Sounds really familiar. Yeah,
she has a new book that came out called The Four Tendencies, and it basically breaks down people into like, you know, do you do stuff because you think other people expect you to? Mm-hmm. If so, you are an obliger, which is totally me. Seriously, if you want me to do something, you've just got to be like, I really expect you to do this. I'd be really disappointed. And then you've got...
that is how I got you on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, no, I'd be so disappointed if you didn't talk about your librarianism. There's the rebel who, if you ask them to do something, they will shut down or just do the opposite or just do like the most annoying thing possible.
That's Mike.
No, it's not.
Zing. There's the questioner, which is my husband, who if you ask him to do something, he's always like, why? Is that the most efficient way to do it? I'm like, aka the engineer.
Okay, I'm probably like a combination of those two.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, this just sounds like DISC and Myers-Briggs to me.
It is basically a version of the Myers-Briggs, but I like this one so much better.
And what's the fourth
one? The fourth one is they're the self-motivator. I can't think of the word that they are using, but it's basically somebody, because I did think for a while that I was this other, it's like a, I can't think of what they are right now, but they're the ones who are totally just motivated internally. So that's like you and running.
It's my meditation.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
I had a really sweet gig when I was failing horribly at acting. I had one really great period in New York where I had an outstanding Broadway actress who was trained by Uta Hagen. She was my coach one-on-one. I was doing website work, so we had a barter thing. And she tried her damnedest to get me to do traditional like transcendental meditation. Mm-hmm. And it never took. And I'm just like, I can't meditate. My brain doesn't work that way. And then I realized one day while I was out for a run, I'm like, wait a minute.
This is it.
This is what meditation is. I need the front of brain shutting off the repetitive like exertion. And then that actually took my running to another level because I'm like, oh, there's an extra health level here.
Yes.
Like for my writing, for work, for figuring stuff out, stress. I budget when I run. Like whatever it is, it just shuts it down. So, yeah.
I have pretty much all of my good ideas on those slog runs that I do, just
the shower
up
principle.
And down.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it's totally a thing.
That's why people play golf, which I didn't get because I think it's the most boring thing.
Golf
in the world.
Is a little frustrating for me.
It's just boring.
Yeah, that's why people play golf.
That's why I asked someone in a corporate environment. They're like, I do my best thinking on the golf course. So for them, I'm generalizing. For them, it was their shower principle. It was their repetitive, something occupying the front of their brain that allowed the back of their brain to do their thing.
Okay. I think that, but I think a lot of...
Okay, a lot of people probably just go to drink on the golf
course. Well, yes. No, I think most people in Rochester play golf to make deals.
Yeah, okay.
And also drive the cart. Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
But I do think there's also something to be said for getting outside.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just, like, anytime, and I am a pretty, I used to be more hardcore. This was all before I had my daughter. I think after your body's never the same. You're just not the same. But before, I was a pretty hardcore winter runner, and I just think there's something to be said for getting outside as much as you can all year round. Even in Rochester.
It's like so hard to extract oxygen from cold air. It's so hard.
Well, that's one thing that I have, I know I do take for granted, is that I do not have those, like, asthma to deal with or anything like that.
I don't either. This is really hard to get air out of, or oxygen out of cold air.
It definitely is. It's not as easy.
I'm a baby. I don't run under 35 degrees. That's my cutoff.
I'm not judging.
I lift weights all winter.
That is awesome. That
I
is
maxed
impressive.
Out my free rate. Stop judging me.
I'm not. There is no judging here because...
No, I'm judging.
It's Mike's judging you. Yeah. It's Mike, you like...
I have no, I have no legs to stand on here, so no.
Literally. all right, well, we don't have to go here if you don't want to, but it was in the article and I thought it was timely. So May 2nd was World Maternal Health Awareness Day.
Yes.
So I was wondering if you wanted to talk about PPD at all.
Yes, I always want to. That's another thing, you know, I
seriously did research.
Yeah, okay, I know. You know more about me than I know about me. yes, I think that it's, you know, I know a lot of women who struggle with either... If it's postpartum or, you know, issues of infertility or really any of those things, we need to be having these conversations because...
And people are told they shouldn't or they can't. It's insane.
It is.
Well,
miscarriages.
To tie this in real quick with a little bit of recent pop culture, have you seen the movie The Babadook?
No.
Okay. No, this is...
I'm so interested to see how this is going to...
It's really I think it's the theme of that movie, but they don't actually ever say that it's the
I'm still unclear about what that movie's about. Okay, go on, please.
And there's a new movie called Tully that just came out. And that is... it's getting a little bit of flack for kind of the same reason that it's...
Is that the Charlie's...
Yes.
Yes, which, I heard about that.
So some people are very critical about it because they're saying this is undiagnosed PPD.
This is... Well, right. I believe they think it's to the point of psychosis.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's where Babadook really...
But other people are saying, well, yeah, but we're talking about it now, and isn't that a good thing?
Right. Yeah. Oh, God, everyone's so sensitive. Okay,
anyway, I just wanted to throw that in because it's kind of a topic right now.
It has to be part of the conversation. You know, in terms of postpartum, I know that there's just so many people who are like, oh, you're going to see your baby and you're immediately going to fall in love with it. It's just going to be birds and unicorns. And then... I'm not saying if it's not, I'm saying when it's not, when that doesn't happen, you feel like, oh God, I'm already failing and I haven't even been a mom for, you know, 15 minutes.
It's like a crushing ton of expectation and sorrow and guilt that like was just given, handed to you like, hey, here you go. Yep. You're going to fail. So here, feel bad.
It was rough. It was really rough. And Amelia, my daughter, had a rough entrance into the world it was actually my diabetes had this weird effect on her where she couldn't keep her blood sugar up and she ended up in the NICU for a couple days. And, you know, I'm not saying she was also huge. She was 10 pounds also due to my diabetes.
Okay. Cause it's really hard to imagine.
Well, now she's just a miniature. She's a peanut, but, so she was in the NICU and she was like this giant whale and all the other babies were like, meh, meh. And she was like, ho, everyone.
It's like that giant 19-pound Chinese baby. You ever see that picture?
They looked shockingly similar.
So big, crying. Yes. Shows a normal baby like,
ooh. So that's what happened with Amelia. But, you know, So you have your appointment at 6 weeks, and they're like, you okay? And you don't, first of all, I remember my husband was there too, and I was pretty honest about how I was feeling, but I still think it's weird. You know, he was there to support me, and I get that, but they're asking these very sensitive questions. And if you're like, I'm actually losing my mind, it's just uncomfortable enough to say it, and then to have other people there, and they're like, the whole thing was bizarre. And then it was like, oh, you're fine, you're fine. And then you're gone. You never see the doctor again. Yep. And
do you think they're kind of on the medical profession side that there's a, at least there has been maybe a sense that they don't want to hear about this?
Absolutely. And I think the experience is, you know, basically you go from pregnancy where there's so much focus on maternal health and making sure you're doing everything that's right for the baby. And then the baby is born and you cease to become a person.
Adios.
You are merely the milk factory and and that is it. And
because you better be breastfeeding.
Or else, oh my God, so much judgment. And anyways, I went undiagnosed for about 10 months and it was a really hard time. And the great thing, and this is another thing, this is not by no means something every librarian has to do, but you figure out a way to connect with people and then use it. I can't tell you the number of times, because we do get a lot of new moms in the library.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I'm like, oh, how's the baby doing? And I try not to ask too many questions about sleep because new babies never sleep. But I do always say, but how are you?
Mm-hmm.
And because I remember the number of times you get asked that question is not that much.
No one
asks you how you're doing. No one asks the dads. No one asks the mom. You know, it's all about the baby.
You know what? So as the dad in that scenario, I very quickly said, you know what? It's fine. I should not be the focus. But my wife should be the focus as well as the baby.
Yeah,
but I kind of felt like, yeah, I didn't do much of the work here, so it's cool with me being second fiddle. And if it was making it about me, I would be kind of a pretty crappy move.
Well, I would say the experience is rough, and if you're dealing with those demons, which isn't a bad thing, it's just your hormones and your body, shouldn't be any rougher. You should not have to advocate, and I did. I advocated for 10 months before anybody was willing to prescribe me anything.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, all I've tried to say to people is like, hey, are you okay? If you're not, that's fine. Go see somebody and go get something. There is no shame in that. And I really think that's if you have a cause, that's kind of my cause. I've definitely had that experience with a few people at work. I know when I first had my daughter, one of the things we did, we went to the library pretty much every day. We were living in Boston at that point, but I went to mom's groups there. We just went because it's one of the few places, once again, you can go and nobody's going to kick you out. You can stay there as long as you want. And really, that's all we're looking for at that point in life, just a place I cannot be in my house for a few minutes.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's just my experience. Like, people who do struggle with, as you said, miscarriage and infertility, all those things, we don't talk about it enough. And it needs to become at least something you don't feel shame about. That's silly.
I ascribe that to, it's just pure patriarchal, like, baggage. Like, I don't think there's even a better explanation. It's not something men would want to hear about, and they were calling the shots for so long. It just set a really, really awful precedent.
It's interesting because I think there's a degree of that, and I think there's a degree of the fact that it's this whole perception of women that we all have to be perfect.
The Madonna myth.
Oh my God! Yes, like if you're not homeschooling your child or something, I'd be the worst homeschooling. I think homeschooling's great. I would be terrible at it.
I don't, but okay.
I've met some awesome homeschoolers. I didn't always think that, but I've met some great ones. But if you're not, like, making your own
bread and using cloth diapers that you've woven with organic cotton textiles.
And the sheep whose wool you have raised.
His name was Gregory. Yes. And he was much beloved. Yeah. No, okay, that's fair. So you think it's women doing this to each other to some degree as well on a societal?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Women.
Women. I know that. I just read that we have, as a first world country, America has one of the worst mortality rates for mothers.
Yeah.
Like third world country style mortality rates in some ways. And it definitely seems like we've, like, everyone's really quick to say, like, we got the whole, like, maternity thing figured out. But then, like, they kind of stopped right around birth time and then mm-hmm. after. And then, like, here there be monsters.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah, basically. And what does that say? I mean, obviously, I could go on a rant about the maternal leave policy.
No.
The non-existent paternity, any rights.
Yep.
I
was working on my PTO that I had at bank because I didn't have paternity leave, but I still had to work because no one could do my job.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, I have a newborn. I'm actually like a really involved dad. I don't want to be doing this crap right now. This is incredibly unimportant to me.
I've created a new human. Just give me like a few days off. That's all. That's all. But yeah, it's crazy. I was shocked. This is my librarian admission. I'm like terrible at research. I'm not.
We'll edit that out. We'll edit that right out. Nobody has to hear that.
Just take the word "not" out.
Yes, I'm terrible.
I'm terrible. Or I'm
you cheat if not.
Hey, say great. Just say the word great.
Great.
Okay, great. I got what I need. That's good. That's
great at research. Well, okay, I'm the least interested person in the world. So when you were like, get interested in the things in my office, I was like, you know, I'm just like a not inquisitive person.
No, that's
like,
fine.
I won't
it's
get
not...
distracted.
Okay, no, you're serious. But most people do. So,
yes.
Well, because they're like, what is that from? That's that kind of thing.
See, and so. I'm the worst person in the world because I'm just like, do-do-do.
No, it's great. Okay, don't feel bad.
But,
It's interesting because I hated doing research when I was in school and I had to do it. But now I'm like, oh, let me Google.
Right.
Yeah, I love doing research, but usually if it's me.
Yes.
Well, this is so I'm a huge, I've taken classes and I'm a huge proponent of gamification. And the concept of using the badging and using the trophies and the rewards, like it's so successful. Most times it's used because it's so deeply ingrained in us.
Yes, that's a point.
Which I think.
But didn't you just say you're not competitive at all?
Well, but that's not...
That's true. It's more of like a self-competition.
Well, it's acquisition.
Yes, yes, I see
so
that.
So, Smike is... Are you a gamer?
Not a gamer.
Okay, but you know there's like different types of video games.
I do know there are different types.
I'm just gauging our, you know, where we're starting here. So Smike, Smike and I are very different in this regard. Smike loves loot games, like Diablo, if you've ever heard of Diablo. So it's games where you grinding... The concept of just playing the same level over and over again or the same game over and over again.
To
get harder to find things.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And,
all right.
I mean, this is part of the problem with the loot crate issue that Congress is very stupidly, they don't understand the internet much less, like loot crate subscription like things in-game purchases. But like but that kind of thing speaks to, it's just wired in some people. There's a reason why it works. But my whole point was to go back to when you... at least believe, you don't have to be true, but if your brain is tricked into thinking that you are the one who wants to do research,
mm-hmm.
and it's very easy to gamify a lot of those kind of things, it's incredible how it doesn't feel like work.
That's true.
Whenever someone asks me, well, what is gamification? Is it turning things into video games? They say, no, it's taking something that's work and making it feel like play. That is gamification at its most core level. It's tricking your brain into thinking it wants to do something for fun and not approaching it from the angle of this is work.
Sounds like somebody wants to do a workshop at the library.
I think that the public would be interested in what you have to say.
No, anything new.
No, well, you don't have to recreate the wheel. Do you think we built the first family forts ever? We did it.
What? That's a thing? Stop the presses. Wait, there are no more presses. Am I kidding?
That's true. Another industry that struggles more than libraries, newspapers.
You know, I pay for a New York Times subscription. They got me.
Well, they've got me,
because I have a phablet, And I discovered the joy and my obsession with any news that makes Trump look like an idiot. Yeah. Look, I'm guilty of echo chamberism. I get that. But I know that, so I'm okay with it. But yeah, like, so the Times, like, it feeds me just the headlines I need. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to read this article. Yeah.
Do you have WAPO also?
No, I only pay for Times. It's like $17 a month. It's like, they give me a free Google Home. They got me. I'm in. But yeah, Washington Post actually really clamped down, though. Which bummed me out because they have also a lot of good articles. They and I know did. It's gonna be like the first paragraph. I'm like, I'm
and
cheap.
Because that Washington Post is where I'd go. That would be my number one.
Yeah.
They like a year or two ago, they were a lot more generous with their mobile access, but then they clamped down.
Jerks. Sorry.
I guess they gotta.
They gotta make money somehow, I suppose.
Just clear your cookies like everyone else.
Yeah. So we had a whole lot of stuff here. We got into a good amount of it. But is there anything you would like to plug? Anything upcoming that you'd like to talk about? We have some time. We're getting to the end. We're past the hour mark.
So maybe you guys can help me. We Uh-oh. Are planning a late night libraries event. So it's a thing. We got a grant.
Talking money here.
Not a lot of money. But anyways.
Your grant is $50.
That's usually how it works in
the
library.
It's a lot of work to get that $50.
You have a budget of $10.
You could have done any other job, like on the side, and gotten more than money.
Yes. So it's a late night libraries party. We're having it in August. It's going to be from the hours of 9 p.m. until 12 a.m.
So kids are out.
Kids are out.
Okay,
yes.
That frees you up.
Yes. Though it's at our library, we cannot serve alcohol on the premises.
Escape room.
It's going to be Game of Thrones themed.
Okay.
So here's what we've got so far. We will have an escape room.
Yes.
We are going to have some fencing. The Rochester Fencing League is going to come and teach people how to fence with pool noodles. We have Geeks Who Drink is going to do Game of Thrones trivia.
Yeah.
But
there's no drinking.
Geeks Who Drink Punch.
I'll throw in something to compliment your fencing. Stage combat.
We talked about that.
Okay.
Do you have a connection?
Yeah, I can get, yeah. Yeah.
Done.
No problem.
That's awesome. Because we were looking into doing that. And, that would be amazing.
It'd be a little more exciting than just
yes, than just pool noodles. Without, like, pool noodles. I mean, yeah, exactly. Because we...
Waivers might have to be signed. I don't
that's
know.
That's fine. But... because the next thing is we were actually... We were going to get some dire wolves, really just wolves. And so I called the wolf company today.
They're really called the wolf company?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I think they're called Wowie.
Wait, did you call the Great Wolf Lodge and they're like, you want water?
You want what?
You want to rent a water slide?
Nope. I want two wolves at least, more if you have them.
If calling the wolf company doesn't work, you could also try calling the company of wolves.
That would.
Or you could just go out in the wilderness and call wolves.
I know,
but don't cry wolf
that would be no. We all know how that turned out. No, oh God, no. But so I was telling my boss that this story is making me laugh now. that we wanted to get some dire wolves, which they're charging $300 for, which I think is a little steep because the wolves are just going to sit there for an hour.
Okay, so to be clear, we're actually talking about normal wolves since dire wolves are a fictitious metaphor.
Exactly. Okay, it's
you
like,
keep saying dire wolf like it's interchangeable with wolf. I'm like,
I live in a world of half truths.
I think getting the wolves there is free. It's $300 to make sure they don't kill anyone.
Which leads me to my next thought, which is a gas. Last week, there was a gala at MCC, and for some reason, the zoo brought a lynx to the gala, and ooh. I guess there were like lights that were flashing, and it was like kind of hot in there. The lynx attacked a guy. Yes. He's not pressing charges. All he wants is like a new suit.
Oh my God.
Of lynx fur.
Yeah, so that happens, so which gives me pause on the direwolves. So I think hand-to-hand combat would be fine. That would be great. I mean, that's so cool.
The walls would be so expensive. I feel like if you nix them, it's a.
Free up our budget.
And this would be stage combat. So I mean, obviously fake, and you know
that's not, exactly. Yeah.
The idea is to not hurt anyone.
Have you reached? And I'm gonna regret even bringing this up. Have you reached out to the LARPing community at all?
So, we
they're banned from the library.
No, we talked about this. We have one millennial / science fiction enthusiast on staff, so we did task her with the LARPers.
Hey, I am not a millennial and I LARP.
No, and that's fine. I'm not saying only millennials LARP. She just happens to be the staff millennial /
Is that a position?
Yes.
The token.
She's basically the token millennial.
Oh my gosh.
/ science fiction enthusiast.
Does she wear large glasses and is always on her cell phone and sighs a lot of stuff?
Actually, yes. She's a great friend of mine, but that does check all those boxes. That could also be talking about me, though, all if right. I were to wear large glasses.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm gonna throw out an idea for this night.
You're looking at me.
I am.
What?
Have you ever heard of the game Werewolf?
Oh yeah.
No.
But could you spin it for Game of Thrones?
Sure, you could.
Yeah, the White Walkers. You could do it with the White Walkers. You know nothing about Game of Thrones.
No, but I know generally it's science fiction or not. It's fantasy.
I know generally
it's
Game of Thrones is about spaceships.
It's sci-fi. Yes.
Yeah, you're on
There's
the right
a spaceship
track.
With a throne on it, and the ships are called
Lots
swords.
Lots of games.
And there's other smaller ships called crows or ravens or something. And the wolves are space ghosts.
And they're the Dragonverse. That's all.
Yeah. Werewolf will pretty much any fantasy setting would work.
Or mafia. I mean, pretty much.
But
same
werewolf,
thing
I feel like werewolf lends itself. There is no lycanthropes in Game of Thrones, but there are other things that are similar. Are you familiar with werewolf or mafia?
No. It's like mafia the sounds party game. Familiar. Someone dies, and mm-hmm. you have to figure. It's no, there's a killer, and you have to figure out who it is, and he just keeps killing.
Mm-hmm.
Or multiple killers, really.
Or multiple, yeah. And where like I have werewolf and it's like it's all laid out and but you could turn into White Walkers.
Yes.
Because it's similar concept.
And that would be super fun. That would be way fun.
Mike's all over this.
Yeah.
Another idea. Have you ever played the game Assassins?
We actually play that at our kids' book club quite a lot.
Where each person has like another person
yes.
to hunt down.
Yes.
And that seems like that'd be good.
That would be another stuff. Yeah. Anything with murder.
Yeah, really. Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Murder and sex and dying.
Okay, but probably not. I mean, there's enough porn going on at the library.
Well, apparently it's just a hotbed of pornography, so.
That would be the topic for another podcast, because we actually have rules, like, we're not going to bug this guy who's looking at porn unless we see, like,
he's
XYZ.
Really looking at porn.
Exactly. It can't just be, like, you know, rated X. It's got to be, like, triple, quadruple X for us to say anything.
You have like a board of like,
yes.
If two or more of these
yes.
in one
yes.
video, then it's out.
Yes.
So I'm just imagining like standing next to him like, okay, just taking notes. Like, can you skip to the, I think I could go back to the third minute mark? Okay. No, you're right.
You're
right.
You're
gone.
Fine.
You're good.
Fine, yeah.
Yes, we were recently trying to sneak up on a guy because we were told like, this guy's watching porn. You gotta say something to him. So we're tiptoeing up and all of a sudden, the alarm on my insulin pump starts going off. So it's like, doo, 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 doo. And the man turns around and we're like,
Did he get up and run away?
Yeah, it's usually.
Nice. Well,
hey, so, yeah, it was fine. It was all fine.
Yeah, I would say wolves, probably a bad idea.
Okay.
Werewolf's a great idea. Stage combat's a great idea. I mean, if you can't do booze.
Yeah, then death. Yeah. That's
go
good.
With death.
Yeah.
Always go with death.
Yeah, I feel really positive.
I can lend you the
yes,
werewolf.
I
mean, it's
love
super
it.
Easy. And then if you have a contact for a stage
and
combat.
And mm-hmm. it's not till August, so we have a ton
okay,
of time.
Yeah, no problem.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
That solves my work problem for today.
We, for one day or two, got hired to do soft skill workshops for my company. So we have some workshop experience. We have some event planning experience.
Yeah.
5 years ago. And then they realize, oh, wait, Mike works here. Why are we paying him? Give him this job, and then he has to do it.
You're like, double dipping.
Like, curse you and your... Well,
I just want to say how awesome your phone cover is.
Oh, thank you. Do you even know what this is?
Well, yeah. It's
I'm like just kidding. The library lots card. Of, lots I mean, of kids are like, what's thing? That thing?
What do you call them, though, that it's in the front of the book and then it gets stamped?
It's just a card. Just a. They don't exist anymore.
But they have a name, right? I said library card, but obviously that's what you would present to
I think it's just like, it's just.
A checkout card?
Yeah, I guess a checkout card.
Okay. I just yeah, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty much my favorite thing.
Is this, that's not like a specific one.
No.
Are there like famous names on it or is it just kind of
random? No, it's so random. I think this was actually a real
It
card,
looks real.
Maybe?
That yeah. looks real, yeah. Well, this is Gone Girl style where she changed pens and handwriting and.
Oh, God. I'm so into reading thrillers a la Gone Girl. I'm reading one right now. That's what I'm going to do for the rest of my night. It's going to be great.
Well, your husband's out in the dark building a tree fort.
Yeah. Message received.
Oh, here, let me get your opinion on this really quick.
Yes.
So this will air after Mother's Day. So I'm going to show you what I got, Erica.
Yes.
Can you tell me if this is dumb or not?
No, it won't be.
I think this is really cool, and I heard it's a fun thing for moms and kids to do together.
Yes, I've been looking at these.
Okay.
Do it.
All right, and then Simon and I made...
You are really super prepared.
This is my jam. Giving is like, I'm all up on it. So I wanted something that Simon could actually make with me and give that would look fancy. So we made, like, ring dishes. We put rings and jewelry on.
Yes!
So they're all handmade. Huh. He, like,
you guys did smushed. That together? That's awesome.
Yeah, he, like, did the smushing. I had to do the baking, glazing, and leaving. But yeah, like, we made one. And then, have you seen these cards?
No.
Yeah, Love Pop. You should check them out. They're really cool.
That's.
They're laser cut, so they're super intricate.
That is awesome.
Yeah. All right, cool. I haven't like been able to ask a mom.
Yes, because, this like, mom says for all yes. The moms I know. By the way, one last library plug. If you ever do need a laser cutter, you can find one at the library.
What? Really?
What about getting into 3D printing?
Go to the Greece Library.
Wow.
Done.
Irondequoit has a 3D printer. We do not, but that's only because we're Luddites.
Well, yeah, they're not like, I think it's a common misconception. You don't just get a laser or a 3D printer and, like, know how to use it.
Yes.
You, like, need, like, blueprints and
you do.
Technical.
You do.
And you got all the material to actually.
Yes, which you, I mean, it's actually pretty reasonable, but yeah.
Well, most people probably, like, download whatever.
The templates and everything.
Template and then
you print out, like, a million Deathly Hallows symbols. Like, I don't even know what people are printing on the 3D printers, but there's some pretty cool stuff you can do.
Well, some dude, it was pretty cool. There was, like, a specific headphone that no one liked the ear pads. So he made himself and engineered and printed a whole, and sold them for, like, $2 a pop. An adapter that you could make them a different kind of headphone.
And
people were like, this is amazing. It's like,
I just did this.
And everyone else was like, you're a jerk.
Yeah. See, there's that extra level of know-how that I don't have.
Exactly.
But somebody does. So they can go to the Greece Library and do that.
See? So all of my conceptions about libraries are clearly out of touch.
Except for the porn. I mean, that was pretty much
that has remained.
Okay,
yeah.
So when I think of that, I think of my time spent like trying to find the swimsuit Sports Illustrated.
Oh, how quaint!
I know, right? Dating myself, really showing how not hardcore about much of anything I was as a 13-year-old. My friends would be like, "Oh, we're gonna check this out. Look at the bikini. It's a two-piece bikini." Laura, this has been great.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are Buddies in Space. You are?
Yes, Michael Smith, and you are?
And Michael Carossi, and you are, and continue to be?
Librarian Laura Lintz.
It's still a story of us. That's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Take it away, Melanie.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books.
Nothing's going to happen. I cut that in later. That was weird.
I don't know what that was.
I always look up, even though it's just a file I use from a coworker. But don't I? Do you ever notice
you
that?
You do that.
I
you
always
that.
Look up like it's going to play.
I probably should call you on it more
often. You never
call
me
on it.
I know.
Like,
I know I do.
It's going to
be. Yeah. So... Is this your first podcast experience?
We
didn't even get into this. You listen to a ton of podcasts.
I do. So many. Because the closest thing I've done... Well, I've done a couple radio shows, but I did, the NPR thing where you right. interview one another. You know.
It's a very good description. We get it.
But StoryCorps. I think this is my first like podcast. So that was super fun.
Yeah.
Good. Cool. You just did. Some people get really thrown off by the box and like trying to like, do I talk to you? It's like the on camera, like what way do I look?
Yeah
I know, because we're both on opposite, so it's a little.
Well, I think that actually helps because it worked fine. It takes the focus off of the.
Yes, out of the teeth thing.
The alien maw, you know, alien.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way, but now I'm always going to see that.
It's the first thing I see. I'm like, ah.
It's like one of the worms from Dune. You know?
I just think Predator, the Predator mouth. The
yes, exactly.
I talk to this thing all day. I was doing it for hours today for work, so
I'll never recording. It just he's just chatting with it.
I tell it secrets because it'll eat them.
Yeah, it looks like it does a good job.
It's like what is that thing in Labyrinth? I
haven't seen that.
Oh my gosh!
You know the thing. It's a French term. It's like the where you. A place for things that you want to forget or something like that. Oblivet, something like that.
Sort of like sure. Oblivion?
I took Spanish. I don't know. Yeah, Oblivion, don't know. Yeah, good game. Yes. Although, yeah, I liked it more than Skyrim. That's a good call. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm like, games? Yes, I know there are different types of video games.
I assumed you did.